Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and also the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Matthew 3 and Revelation, chapter 5. Matthew 3, we'd like to read verse 11. John the Baptist speaking, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Then in Revelation chapter 5, I'd like to read the entire chapter. "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. And he came, that is, this lamb, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen,' and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." The passage there in Matthew chapter 3, we see John the Baptist speaking to those who came to him to be baptized. And he's speaking of Christ just prior to baptizing Christ. And then there in Revelation chapter 5, we see an event that takes place in heaven and is a continuation of what we read in Revelation chapter 4. But here in Revelation 5, God is seen upon his throne in his sovereignty, with a seven-sealed book in his hand. It is a book of God's final judgments upon earth. Really, that book is the beginning of the end for sin, the beginning of the end for Satan. And though these two passages, Matthew chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 5, they're not related by context, they're not related by time, but they do contain two very, very important two foundational truths that must be learned by every child of God, that must be remembered by every child of God at all times. Our service to the Lord, our view of life, our view of the events of life, our gratitude to God, our worship and our praise of God are all directly related to these two truths, are directly related to our knowledge and the realization of these two truths presented here in Matthew 3 and Revelation chapter 5. So I want to speak tonight on two foundational truths that will make a difference in everything. And these two truths that we need to learn, these two truths that we need to remember, that we need to have lodged in our hearts and lodged in our minds. John the Baptist said, "I am not worthy." That is a truth that everyone needs to learn. I am not worthy. That's a truth that we not only need to learn, we need to remember it at all times. And we need to have it lodged in our heart and in our minds at all times. I'm not worthy. And at the same time, we need to remember who it is that is worthy. And we read that there in Revelation chapter 5. The word worthy means deserving. We're not deserving. We are not deserving because of who we are. And we are not deserving because of what we have done. We are always unworthy. That is always true in this life. So we want to see these two truths, and of course they are related. But first of all, the first truth is none of us are worthy. There in Matthew 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist said, "I am not worthy." That's a very plain, a very clear statement of unworthiness. I am not worthy. In Revelation chapter 5, if we turn over there, in Revelation chapter 5, notice the question that is asked there in verse 2. Revelation 5 and verse 2. The question is, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And then notice verse 3, "And no man in heaven," no man in heaven, "nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man," that is no man in heaven, no man in earth, no man under the earth, "no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Now, when John says here in verse 3, "and no man in heaven," consider all the unfallen and sinless angels that are in heaven. Never have they done anything amiss. They are sinless. But not one amongst all the sinless angels was worthy to open the book. So you see, even if you and I never sinned, we'd still be unworthy. Of all the angels, that includes Michael, that includes Gabriel, none were worthy. You also consider all of those who were in heaven. Think about Enoch. Walked with God. Yet Enoch is not worthy. You think about Abraham. Not worthy. Think about Joseph. Joseph, of all the characters in the Bible, is the most near to Christ of any of them. Yet he's not worthy. You think about Caleb, Joshua. These are great saints of God. But none of them are worthy. Even in heaven, they are not worthy. You think about Daniel, John the Baptist, John the Apostle, Paul. None are worthy. No one anywhere was found to be worthy. Joseph said in Genesis 32 and verse 10 that we are not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. We're unworthy. And that is a truth that we need to always remember. I think about the centurion. Remember, he was seeking to have his servant healed, and he said to Christ, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. I'm not worthy. And neither are we. We're not worthy that the Lord should ever come into our presence. We're certainly not worthy of being in his presence. Never are we worthy. Never are we worthy to worship the Lord. Never are we worthy to be able to read the Word of God, to be able to pray. None of us are worthy. We don't deserve these things because of who we are. We do not deserve these things because of what we have done. But the Lord lets us do these things in spite of who we are and in spite of what we've done. But we're not worthy. And there was none in heaven that was worthy. And as you look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, you see, when John the Baptist said, I am not worthy, there is nothing that can make you and I worthy. He said, I'm not worthy to bear or to carry his shoes. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving of that. The way Mark puts it was he was not worthy to unloose the latchets of his shoes. He said, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He said, I'm unworthy, I'm undeserving to stoop. So many of God's people are afraid of stooping. We're not worthy to even stoop down to Jesus Christ. And that's what John is saying. He says, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. One's birth cannot make us worthy. The angel of the Lord, when he announced the birth of John the Baptist, he told his father that John the Baptist would be great in the sight of the Lord. Yet John the Baptist was unworthy. He said John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. But even so, he was not worthy. You see, it doesn't matter. Our birth, our parents, none of that makes us worthy of the blessings of God or worthy to serve the Lord. Our ministry, our service cannot make us worthy. John the Baptist was a man sent from God. John 1 verse 6, he was a man sent from God, but he was unworthy. And so are we. The ministry of John the Baptist, great importance. He was to prepare the people to welcome Jesus Christ into the world. An extremely important ministry. It was his distinct work to announce the Messiah to Israel and to prepare them for the Messiah. And John the Baptist very faithfully fulfilled his commission, fulfilled what God told him to do. But the entire time that John the Baptist was ministering, I believe that John the Baptist realized, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. We forget that sometime. We see also that being greatly used of God does not make us worthy. John the Baptist was a man who was greatly used of God. He came to bear witness of Jesus Christ, that through Christ all men might believe. And John was a great witness for Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ spoke of John's witness there in John chapter 5 and declared that John was a bright and shining light for Jesus Christ. And what he was saying was that John the Baptist had a great testimony. And that was Christ saying that. Yet he was still unworthy. You think about John the Baptist, he preached. Souls were saved. Many, many souls were saved. Many souls were baptized. And the whole time he was preaching, and the whole time people were being saved, and the whole time he was baptizing, John the Baptist is saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And neither are we. So it doesn't matter how greatly God might use any one of us, that still doesn't make us worthy. Possessing great ability does not make one worthy. John the Baptist was a man of great ability. I believe when John the Baptist stood in the wilderness to preach, he had great eloquence. And his eloquence attracted people from Jerusalem and from all the cities round about, thousands and thousands and thousands, gathered to hear John the Baptist preach, gathered to hear John the Baptist teach. The whole nation felt the effects of his ministry. One man, and the whole nation felt the effects of this man's ministry. Yet he's unworthy. He's unworthy. Yet today, if God uses us, we are in great danger of pride. It's true of all of us. If God uses us to do anything in His service, we have immediately have to be aware of pride rising up in our hearts. But know again, however many abilities an individual might have, however greatly used of God an individual might be, still unworthy. Still unworthy. Position does not make one worthy. We all have different positions. We have different positions in the body of Christ. But no matter what one's position is in the body of Christ, we're all unworthy. We're unworthy to be in the position that we're in. Whatever position that is, we're unworthy. But we see that the Lord said concerning John the Baptist, among them that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's quite a statement. And the Lord said that. He said, of all the prophets, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Now, can you imagine if the Lord were to say that about us? We'd start feeling pretty good about ourselves. But John said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to stoop and unloose the latchet of his shoes. I'm not worthy to carry the shoes of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 9 that John the Baptist was more than a prophet. He was a prophet, but Jesus said he's more than that. But yet John said, I'm not worthy. It's a truth that we all need to realize. Also, the high opinions that others might have of an individual does not make them worthy. John the Baptist was a religious leader, but John the Baptist had many disciples. He had many followers. In fact, Jesus spoke of the disciples of John there in Mark chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5. So he was a man who had many followers. In fact, he had so many followers that he had opportunity, had he desired, to become a leader of a powerful sect, to become the leader of a powerful religious group. In fact, some of John's disciples even mistook him for Jesus himself. Some of them thought that he was the Christ. But John said, I'm not worthy. He was a great man. Great in the sight of the Lord. Filled with the Spirit of God. Sent from God. Faithful. Zealous witness for God. A man of great ability, a man of godly character. Obviously, he's mistaken for Jesus Christ. He is a man of great godly character, a man who was highly thought of by others, and a man who was highly commended by Jesus Christ. But it's this man who says, I'm not worthy to carry the shoes of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not worthy to stoop and unloose the latches of his shoes. So you see, a child of God will never be worthy. We can never make ourselves worthy. Never. We'll never be worthy. Even in heaven, in our glorified, sinless condition, we'll never be worthy. Again, consider the angels. He looked all through heaven and none was worthy. Even amongst the sinless angels. But these words of John here in Matthew 3 and verse 11 also reveal John's view of Christ, reveal his view of himself. When we consider what we were before salvation, how can we ever believe that we're worthy? When we consider what we've been since we've been saved, I mean, if the sinless angels aren't worthy, if John the Baptist wasn't worthy, how can you and I ever think that we are worthy of the least of God's mercies? If Joseph was not worthy of the least of God's mercies, certainly you and I are undeserving. We're unworthy. But also in these words, John the Baptist not only declares his view of Christ, declares his view of himself, but declares his view of service to the Lord. To carry another's shoes, to unloose the latchets of another man's shoes, was the responsibility of the lowest of servants. The responsibility of the lowest of slaves. This was the individual who would wash the feet of individuals. This is the lowest slave in the household. And John says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be the lowest of all servants. None of us are. He fully realized that he was unworthy to perform the lowest service. And whatever you think that is, and there may be many different ideas upon that, but whatever you think the lowest service that you can do, you're not worthy to do it. None of us are. The very lowest thing that you can do in the service of Christ is too good for any of us to do. We're unworthy. And we need to always remember that truth. I'm unworthy. If you witness to somebody and the Lord saves their soul, remember, the Lord saved their soul. You didn't do anything. You're unworthy. You ought to just thank God that he let you be there when he saved somebody. And that's true about anything. When we stand and sing the great hymns of faith, we're not worthy. We're not worthy to sing that song, to sing Amazing Grace. We know the truth of that song, but we're unworthy. We're unworthy to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. We're unworthy to even walk into the house of God. We're all unworthy. And when people say, oh, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I just feel so unworthy. You ought to feel unworthy. Because we are. It ought to concern us if we ever feel that we are worthy. If we ever feel that we deserve a blessing of God. Why is it that people get angry with God? Because they think they deserve something from God. They have forgotten this basic truth. I am not worthy. And if I am not worthy, and I know that, if God takes everything, I wasn't worthy of it in the beginning. We're not going to get upset with God because we're unworthy. If God blesses someone else twice as much as he blesses us, and you begin to feel bitterness in your heart about it, you know why that is? It's because you think you're worthy. It's because you think you're more worthy than the individual that's been doubly blessed. That individual's unworthy and you're unworthy. We're all unworthy. We ought to just thank God. When God doubly blesses someone, we ought to just be amazed. We ought to be amazed. And I've heard people say, well, if I was God, I wouldn't do that. No, and if you were God, you wouldn't bless yourself either. We're not worthy. We're unworthy. So anything God has for us to do, whatever it is, not everybody's called to preach, not everybody's called to teach, not everybody can sing, but whatever it is that God has for us, we're unworthy to do it. And that's true of all of us. And if tomorrow the Lord says, Dan Gordon, you're not preaching anymore, you've preached your last message, am I worthy to preach any message? None of us are worthy to hear any message. We're all unworthy. So any form of service, no form of service, is insignificant. Don't ever think, I don't have much to do in the church. I'm an insignificant person. There's no such thing as being insignificant in the Lord's work. If God allows us to do something, that's significant. Because we're not worthy. It's a significant thing. It's a matter of God's grace if He allows us to do something. If God allows us to stoop down and pick up a piece of paper in a church aisle and put it in the trash can, we ought to be filled like we're blessed of God, that God would allow us to do that in His house. We're not worthy. Don't ever feel that you're too good to do anything in the house of God. That's true of all pastors. It's true of anybody. We're unworthy. We're unworthy to do anything in the house of God. And how we ought to thank God if God just allows us to do anything in His house. We ought to be thankful. Because we're unworthy. So even the most obscure form of serving is higher than we deserve. More lofty. We're not worthy to undertake any responsibility. Realizing that truth, how grateful we ought to be that God would allow us to come into His house. How grateful we ought to be that God would allow us to pray, to sing, to open His Word, to read His Word, to have some understanding of His Word. You can go all over this world and find people in total ignorance of God, total ignorance of any truth concerning God, and yet God has revealed some truths to us. Should we feel proud about that? No, we should feel blessed because we're not worthy. We're not worthy to know anything. We deserve to be ignorant just like everybody else. We're unworthy. So we ought to be grateful. We ought to also consider, since we're unworthy, what a privilege it is to do anything in the Lord's service. And realizing this, everything we do for the Lord, we ought to perform with love. We ought to perform with humility. We're unworthy. We're unworthy. We ought to perform with thanksgiving. If it means that all we can do is stoop and unloose the latchets of his shoes, we ought to thank God. We ought to thank the Lord. Whatever it is that the Lord has for us, we ought to be thankful. And we ought to do the best we can because we're unworthy. And we ought to do it with great zeal and great determination that we're going to glorify him. And that we're not here to call attention to ourselves, but we want him to get the glory. We're unworthy. Oh, so many today, and we all fall into this trap. We feel that, you know, the church ought to thank us for this, or the church ought to thank us for that. Don't ever think that. They ought to appreciate me for this and that. Don't ever think that way. You just thank God that he allowed you to do anything, because we're all unworthy. And then the other truth is Jesus Christ is worthy of all. We're unworthy. We're always unworthy. Jesus Christ is worthy of all, and he is always worthy of all. We see there in Revelation chapter 5 that Jesus is in the midst. All attention is focused upon him. All thoughts are focused upon him. And as Jesus, the Lamb of God, came and took that scroll out of the hand of God, we see that all of heaven fell down there in Revelation 5, verses 8 and 9, and they're all singing, "Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy." Can you imagine all of heaven? An innumerable host of angels singing, "Thou art worthy." An innumerable host of saints singing, "Thou art worthy." And this is what John heard that day. We read there in Revelation 5, they sung a new song. It's almost humorous when preachers get together and try to figure out what song they're singing. Did you get it? It says a new song. It's never been heard before. And it's not something you can sing until you get there in heaven. It's something better than Amazing Grace. It's something better than How Great Thou Art. It's something better than any song in any hymn book. It's a new song, sung by glorified saints of God who have been delivered from sin. You and I can't even imagine this song. But I know this, the subject of it is Jesus Christ and redemption. Because you read Revelation 5, that's what they're singing about. Thou hast redeemed us, and thou hast made us kings and priests. It's all about what the Lord has done for us. And the whole theme is, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. We must always remember, we're unworthy. He's worthy. He's always worthy. He's worthy of wholehearted praise. No one else is. No one is worthy of the praise that the Lord is worthy of. No one. No one is more worthy of adoration than the Lord. He is deserving of all adoration. He is deserving of all praise. And no one is more worthy of obedience than the Lord. There in John chapter 5, when the impotent man was healed by Jesus Christ on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees came and they began to question the healed man, "Who healed thee? And why are you carrying your bed? Don't you know that it's against the law to carry your bed on the Sabbath day?" And he said, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk." I love that verse. You see, that's all he needed. He made me whole. He told me to do it. That's all I need. And that's all you and I should need today. The one who made us whole is worthy to be obeyed. We're unworthy. Jesus Christ is worthy of absolute surrender. And that's why in heaven, following the judgment seat of Christ, saints of God will receive some crowns. Whatever crowns you receive, you will not be parading around heaven showing it to everybody. Because there at the judgment seat of Christ, everyone will cast their crowns at the feet of the Lord. Why? Because then they realize fully, I'm not worthy of one of these crowns. But He's worthy of them all. He's worthy of them all. And there in Revelation 19, when Jesus Christ comes back to earth to set up His millennial kingdom, we see that He's wearing many crowns. And I believe some of those crowns are the crowns of the saints. They've surrendered everything to the Lord. And all we need to realize tonight, we're not worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of us just giving Him everything. Of just letting go and just throwing everything and placing everything at the feet of Jesus Christ in gratitude for who He is. If the Lord had never done a thing for us, He'd still be worthy of all of our praise because of who He is. Because of who He is. But He has blessed us. He's blessed us abundantly. I think many times of family members that are lost, some that have died and believe they died and went to hell, and the Lord saved me. I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm not worthy to be able to read God's Word and understand it. We're unworthy. And if God just showed us one truth, we'd be unworthy of that. But God has showed us more than one truth. He's opened our eyes many times, and we've been able to glean truths from God's Word. We're unworthy. And how many times you've sat in the house of God and God has shown you something, or you've been reading the Scriptures by yourself and God has shown you something? How thankful we ought to be. Doesn't have a thing to do with your intelligence, doesn't have a thing to do with mine. It's all His grace. It's all His mercy. People today who get angry about the grace of God, it's because they feel they deserve something. It's because they feel they deserve some credit for something. We don't deserve any credit for anything. So don't ever allow yourself to feel worthy. You say, well, it'd be horrible going through life just feeling like you're unworthy. That's a wonderful thing. When you realize that He is worthy. And that's when we realize we're unworthy and He's worthy, that's when we realize what life is all about. That's when we realize why we're here. It's not for us, it's for Him. And we should, I surrender all to Him I freely give. That ought to always be our attitude, and it always will be as long as we feel I'm unworthy. And He's worthy of all. In His presence daily I live, I surrender humbly at His feet, I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Oh, how willing we ought to be to do that. Because at our very best, we're unworthy. We're always unworthy. May we always remember that. And may we always remember who it is that's worthy of everything. He's worthy of all. And may we always give Him praise and worship that He is worthy of. We can't. We can't possibly worship Him in a way that He's worthy of. But we need to always be thankful. Every time God blesses our lives, if something bad happens in our life, we ought to thank God. We ought to thank Him. We ought to praise Him. Because we're unworthy. We're unworthy. You think about children the Lord's given you, you're unworthy. Unworthy. You think about the families God has given us, we're unworthy. You think about the people that God has caused us to cross paths with, we're unworthy. We're unworthy of all the blessings of God. So how can anybody possibly get angry with the Lord? How can anybody feel sorry for themselves when we realize how greatly blessed we are? And I pray that we would always realize that every time we come in the house of God, we realize we're unworthy, but we're here to worship the one who's worthy of all. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.